It's Sherry, and I am back with a follow-up from the episode that came out earlier today on how to use anger for good purposes. I want to address two questions. The first, when to see a professional for an anger problem, and second, what to do before God when you do fail to steward your anger for good, okay? Because failure and setbacks in our ability to manage our anger and direct it for good will happen. It's part of the process of our sanctification, which is an ongoing, lifelong process. Here are some situations in which you need to seek support from a professional. If you or your preteen or teen, if it's your child with the anger problem, are not able to complete the calm it, list it, plan it strategy independently or together on your own. For example, if you truly cannot calm yourself, or if you cannot make a list of what is angering you because you don't know all of the reasons why, do not feel shame if you just aren't able to do the strategy. Some people have very strong torrents of anger that are extremely difficult to control, and there is a biological component to it. Some people also have coexisting difficulties such as ADHD or impulsivity deficits. After more than 20 years in the field of teaching on emotional and behavioral self-control, I am pro-physician, pro-psychiatric professional, and pro-medication when it is needed and effective. If the anger in yourself or in your child is truly uncontrollable, I would advise you to first talk to your regular physician. Many adults don't realize that their primary care doctor can prescribe for general emotional control problems. Not all primary care doctors are comfortable doing so, but he or she should be able to give you a referral. If you are dealing with a comorbidity, meaning you are not able to control your anger and you also have another DSM-5 diagnosis such as ADHD or suspected ADHD, then your general doctor will likely refer you to a psychiatric medical provider, a doctor or a PA or a psychiatric nurse practitioner. Now, I know that scares some people, but I will let you know that in most cases, you will be prescribed starting with a low dose of an SSRI, which is a selective serotonin reuptake inhibitor. Now, of course, if that's not where your doctor starts, everyone's situation is unique to that person, but in most cases, the SSRI, commonly known as Zoloft or Sertraline, Lexapro, Escitalopram, or a few names that it's under, it's not introducing a new chemical in your body. It boosts the serotonin that you are already producing. And without going into a whole lot of neuroscience, we know there is a relationship between serotonin levels and nearly all major mood disorders, including anger, depression, and anxiety. On top of that, we know that there is a relationship between all the major mood disorders and health, general health, quality of life, when those disorders go untreated. So it is a health problem. It is a medical problem. We know in many cases, just boosting serotonin with a low dose results in better emotional control and impulse control when aggravated. Of course, do what your doctor prescribes for your specific circumstances and medical profile. Disclaimer here, I am not giving medical advice, certainly not giving individual medical advice. I am not a doctor. I am just sharing what I have learned through my 20 years working in the related mental health field. Another time you may need to see a professional is when you really feel like you need to talk to someone to help solve a problem within a relationship, but the other person does not want to discuss it or work on the problem with you. When you have a problem that involves interaction with another person in your life and the other person does not want to address it or minimizes the problem, you may want to see a professional to help you know what to do next. The counselor will help you to understand that you cannot make another person change, but you can learn to change the way you interact with the person. You can set boundaries. You can protect yourself from flyaway emotions that may tend to be triggered by another person's actions. Finally, do not feel overly shameful if you try to self-manage an episode of anger and don't do so successfully. Anger is a very strong emotion, and if you've been stuffing it a long time, or if you haven't been dealing with it appropriately for a while, or if you've been under a whole lot of stress, it is okay to need help. It is okay to need medical help or counseling for it, or both. If you are diagnosed with hypertension or diabetes, you know that you need medical help or at least consultation with a doctor. The same is true with emotional regulation difficulties. It is not just a you problem. It's a health problem. Just like you wouldn't or shouldn't try to manage high blood pressure or diabetes on your own with a doctor's input, when emotional dysregulation is serious enough to be causing significant problems in your relationships or in your work or career or in your general functioning or in your ability to enjoy your life, it's a health problem too. Go get help. I promise you that you will not be the first person, man or woman, who has brought it up with their doctor. In fact, presently I believe that 1 in 7 adults are currently treated by a doctor for an emotional regulation difficulty. Finally, what do we do when we mess up and we end up lashing out or acting aggressively or thinking revengeful thoughts? What do we do when we do sin in our anger, when we lash out or become aggressive or begin thinking revengeful thoughts? Or in lower level ways, when we become hypercritical, verbally lash out, or become mean, impatient, or sarcastic in a hurtful way? Let's admit it. Being critical or saying something that belittles someone only aggravates them and is stirring up strife. Those critical or unkind words are fighting words. There's a proverb about that. When we do it, we are intentionally dropping a light matched on dry wood shavings. We have to control our actions when angry, and we have to control our words when angry. Am I telling on myself a bit? Yes. I admit I have a personal history of not using kind words towards other, especially those I'm closest to, when I was aggravated. I'm sure my husband and daughters could tell you all some stories, but I hope they never will. Very few people are proud of the words they say when angry. I think rule number one for me is as soon as I feel angry, I zip my lips until I'm certain I'm not going to hurt someone with my words. I am working on my next book or study, and it will be about this topic on stewarding emotions for good. I will spill some of the beans on myself then, but I am not sharing all my failures today on the whole internet. So if that's a plug for my future book, you will get to learn about a lot of my mess ups and failures. So when you fail or you don't handle it as you should, what then? Of course, you need to genuinely apologize. However, more so, this is when we need God's help the most, because we just proved we are struggling and weak with stewarding our anger. And remember, when we are weak and admit it, that is when God becomes our strength. So what do we do then? We confess. In our prayer time, we confess the sin and we accept the forgiveness from God. We also request His Spirit to help us the next time. It's important to keep our prayer time daily. You know, a lot of people want to pray daily because they have requests to make, but I think it's important to pray daily because we have confession to make. We must recognize and benefit from understanding how we open ourselves up to allowing God to work in our lives when we have integrated the practice of prayerful confession regularly. I'm at a point now where I actually love confession with God in my prayer time, and I look forward to it. in my book titled Closer to God, Simple Methods Starting Today. If you have that, there is a section on the importance of confession and prayer and all the spiritual benefits that are received through the practice of confession. It's in the book Closer to God, Simple Methods Starting Today. If you do not have it yet, but the confession keeps us humble. It keeps us growing. It invites God's Spirit into us to further our growth and abundance in good emotional functioning too. All right, I am now ready to close off for these two sessions, the original session and this follow-up. Next time, we will address the feeling of doubt. Now, originally, doubt was not on my planning sheet. I had not planned to address doubt. Not sure if doubt's really an emotion or a thought cycle, but there are emotions associated with doubt. But I realized that we need to address doubts about God. Almost all that I have been sharing with you, the strategies often presume that the listener has a strong faith in God. But what if you don't? What if you have doubts? What if you have a lot of doubts? What then? We will discuss ways to strengthen our faith as we work on these emotional strongholds too. Until next time, I leave you with this from 2 Corinthians 12. God says, "My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness." When we take our weaknesses to the Lord, He is able to use them for good purposes, just as He works all things for our good. Thank you for listening. This is Sherry Peavy, the author and the voice behind these messages. I invite you to gospellifelearning.com to sign up for our monthly email newsletter if you haven't already done so. You will never miss a message, a special offer, or a free resource. Thank you again. Until next time.